Hey guys, welcome to episode 136 of the podcast with my wonderful guest, Sarah Burns. I hope you enjoy the episode. I wanted to say quickly about the episodes in general and the beginning episodes of the podcast, that there was a question of whether or not the older episodes were on iTunes. And it turns out that a bunch of episodes from the beginning of the podcast, including Christina Hendricks and probably Connie Chung and a bunch of other people, they weren't showing up on iTunes. And so Nerdist has fixed that. So everything, if you're a new listener to the podcast and you're wondering about the first initial episodes, they should all now be represented on iTunes. And might I also say, and I used to say this a long time ago, and I never think to say it anymore because I'm terrible at self-promotion, but if you get a chance to leave positive feedback on the iTunes site, I strongly recommend that you do for my sake. Very self-serving comment there. I wanted to get some shout outs in. Of course, I'm very, very much in the thick of Sketchfest planning, so things are a little batty right now. We do announce our lineup this upcoming Friday, so it will be tomorrow when this podcast comes out. And I'm so excited. I hope many of you will consider coming and joining me in San Francisco, January 22nd through February 8th. I recommend you not come for the entire time, but you know what? Feel free to come for the entire time. Anyway, I want to get some shout outs in from Nerdist, Paige, Grim, Nikki, Joseph, and PJ. I want to thank Richard, Gary, and Kevin for your emails, and I'll have to catch up on everything else soon. But thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
There's not a lot of pomp and circumstance at the beginning of the podcast. Like, it's on. It's happening.
Oh, okay. It's happening
now. It's happening. Also, it makes me laugh that you showed up with a cup of coffee, and for some reason that to you seemed like in some way trashy. Why?
I feel like people who show up to places with travelers are trashy. I always think of like those photographs of Britney Spears for years, just always with like a giant sugary coffee drink.
Right.
And so whenever I show up, I feel like a piglet.
But that
like it just feels to me like trash. Like I should have showed up with like a ceramic
that
latte
is,
or
hilarious.
You know, like here's a, you know, if I showed up with a beer in like a coat, like, you know, like what's up, I'm here. But and it's gross, covered in my lipstick. Like, I'm such a pig.
Well,
but,
first of all, you're wearing lipstick, so some would argue that you're already a step up from many of us at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon in this case. But on a weekend. But also, I feel like I've been seeing, let's talk for a second about what generally people tend to bring with them. For sure, like a plastic, you know, water bottle, refillable water bottle that they, I've been seeing a lot of juices lately, which I would think because it's LA, I would see more. I haven't seen as many like pressed juices as you might expect from a woman working in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, we're getting close to the holidays, so yeah. People are letting loose.
That's
and
true,
in the beginning
loose.
Of January, I'm sure we'll see a lot of those pressed juices.
I've never done like a juice.
I have.
Cleanse. I don't think I would respond well.
I loved it.
You
and
did.
I think I get like high and I.
People talk about that.
It's great. I like doing juice cleanses that at the end of the night, it's a psychological thing. At the end of the night, you get like vegan or raw food.
Yeah, well, I need to chew, I think.
You should chew because your teeth will fall out of your head. If you don't, like, you know, like, but that's something that I go towards. It's not just this like, oh, at the end of the week, you're going to be clean. I don't fucking care about that. It's more like at the end of the day, you're going to get to eat. And you can kind of power through because it kicks your... What is the word? Like, your blood sugar hits up.
So like I guess because it's juice, because there's like natural sugars in it and stuff.
And I think I'm a little skeptical of the juices that come in bottles that they've made a few days before. Because once a juice is made, it begins to turn to sugar. But they say, like, with cold, I can't believe I'm going
this is
on.
The most,
I'm
this so is the in- most. This is the most LA, maybe. I mean, I've had a few where I've said this is the most LA, but this really feels like
super
LA.
When we start talking about, like, colonic therapy and like yeah. coffee enemas, then yeah. we know we should just lay down and die.
For but, sure. Yeah, for but, sure. Yeah, because you're a New Yorker. Are you in New York? Yeah.
I grew up on Long Island. You know, yeah. I lived in Brooklyn.
Nobody's got time for this kind of
no
bullshit over
shit
there.
About your fucking colon. Get the hell out of my, you know, like, but I can't imagine going back to my friends and being like, guys, if you're gonna juice, cook the nightshade before you put it through the juice. Like, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here, Burns. But yeah. I don't know. There's something like, there's something really great about juicing kale and ginger.
Mm-hmm. I don't even so, assume you, that makes it sound like you have a juicer. Yeah, you have
I
juicer.
Do. I have a I juicer. Have a and juicer. What's even worse is that I actually use it. It's out on my counter and I use it.
That is not worse. That's good. That's worse if it's collecting dust somewhere yeah. where you thought.
Like you know. Have a garlic roaster that you can press on and off that's covered in dust. Yeah. I don't have that. But I have a juicer and I use it and I love it. Great. And on my well. List of things to buy, I wrote juicing veggies for this week. Let's do like a little detox, you know.
What are your favorite? And then we'll stop this. But yeah. what are your favorite juice combos? I hear kale and ginger
kale,
is in the
kale, ginger, lemon, cucumber, celery, parsley, and a green apple.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Super.
That does sound really good. I won't lie
it's
to you.
So great. Especially if you've been like partying or something and yeah. you're like, I need something green.
Yeah,
it's like my theory used to be like have a burrito, have some like have sex or something like that'll get rid of your hangover. Anyone will do. Anyone at the bus depot that you wake up in, like sex. Just go and be like, I'm going to the vending machine. I'm getting us both burritos, sir, and then I will have sex with you. But like those things can kind of now. I just want a kale juice. That's all I require.
I mean that. Does sound better than sex with a stranger or a burrito, by and large. By and large. But I don't know. I feel like that stuff has kind of crept over to the East Coast too, you know? I feel like there's more yeah. juice. When I'm in New York City now, I'm surprised by the amount of like juicing places I see.
It's really crazy. It's going to complete, like someone will eventually come out and be like, you're all assholes. Mm-hmm. You're just sugaring yourself with like do the soda cleanse or something. But because there's nothing, like there's no fiber in it. So your belly feels like... clean, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I will be buying kale and maybe juicing maybe even veggies. Beets and turmeric, you know.
I don't even know what turmeric looks like. Does it look
it's
like ginger?
It's like a little ginger, but in it's orangey on the inside. Okay. And it's browner mm-hmm. on the outside, and when you peel it, it looks like you've urinated.
Wonderful.
Constantly on yeah. your hands, like soaked your hands in urine, and then you go around and people are like, oh, that you're having sex with that guy in the bus depot. Like, yep, we're very happy,
we're wonderful. And what does it taste like?
It's kind of spiky the way ginger is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do feel that they just mentioned it on Top Chef.
Oh god, well if they didn't somebody, they don't know their fucking chefery, but like
somebody mentioned using it in something or other.
It's good. I think it's in like an doses, anti-inflammatory maybe. Whatever that means.
Like ginger I think is
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
All these
yeah.
root vegetables.
Yeah, they're so
all
good
these
for
root
you.
Vegetables. Did you grow up with any kind of, I mean we're sort of joking about it, but like and is it in it's on Long Island. You don't say in Long Island. I get very confused.
I grew up saying in Long Island, okay. but it was pointed out to me that you live on Long Island. It's right. like saying, like, I'm standing in line. You're not standing in line. You're standing on line. But you are standing in line.
And that's an East Coast, West Coast thing, too. Whitley is extremely into making out with Sarah and her face.
My chin is filthy. Like, it's just, it needs, like... Well, it's actually good because I really do respect the fact that she's looking up. Because it's working against gravity.
That's right.
She's
that's right.
a real good.
That she's my secret to no wrinkles. It's like, just let a dog lick your face yeah, and you're wrinkle free.
My grandmother once saw me putting suntan lotion on at the pool and I was like pulling my face down. She was like, oh God, no.
They do. Yeah. My grandmother used to, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, my grandmother used to sleep with these V-shaped like... almost like cardboard pieces, but they were very thin. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, like
Whitley?
I think they're called frownies. They make them now. They're almost like Biore pore strips, but they pull.
They're called frownies?
Well, they have them.
Hey,
frown.
Chew this ball.
What's that? What's that ball?
Oh, chew this ball.
What's that ball?
I'm trying to get her to stop occupying all of Sarah's attention and
but
thoughts.
No, it's fine. I need a facial. So,
but you know.
You know, she's helping me out.
Yeah, she used to sleep. So, okay. But so people still sleep with stuff like that? Like
I think I've seen them. I've never used them because they seem like they pull your skin. But like my mom's shown them to me.
They're still out there.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Thank God.
They're still, thank
okay.
God.
So it's you live on Long Island. That makes sense. And Long Island is confusing to me. I've been there, I think, maybe just once. It is a bunch of different little, some of them very idyllic, kind of great communities. And is some, it typically, I mean, I hate to say this, is it typically moneyed or is it like all over? Is it
across, I think it's all over the place because there's some towns, like some failed, like, well, not failed, but like there's this place called Levittown that was this builder, Levitt. I don't know his first name. And the town is so weird because it's like four different types of houses repeated throughout. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a depressed community, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's like super wealthy. Right. And the only time that I really spent a lot of time there, my friends and I decided in high school that we were going to like attend this metal show. We were going to go to a metal show and we drove there. And
you mean like heavy metal?
Yeah.
Okay. We were in my mind, I'm like, Gems and Minerals?
We were going to see some Gems and Minerals. It was a Friday to Sunday event. Mm-hmm, we had passes. Mm-hmm. But we decided we were going to go to this metal show. We weren't really like super into metal, but it was like within the realm of what we were kind of into. And
what does that mean?
Well, like we were into punk and like, mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was kind of like an alternative.
Who was playing?
I have no fucking
clue. You don't even remember?
It was probably like a local. Like yeah. A Levittown okay. So it special.
Wasn't. All right. So it wasn't, you know, Jesus and Mary Chain. Or
no,
something.
No. Yeah. Gosh, I wish. But
which, by the way, is not in any way metal.
Not in any way metal. Go.
But it wouldn't be affiliated.
But that I would have gone to.
But like maybe like, well, like a Nine Inch Nails kind of a situation.
Yeah,
or
we
like
were
a,
we were into them.
I guess Metallica kind of crosses over between.
Yeah,
the two.
Yeah, I went to see Metallica. Some local kind of shitty metal club.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, it's Saturday, we have to find people that are also disenfranchised. Uh-huh. So let's go party. We drove up and we like pulled into a group of people and a metalhead flew onto the hood of our car and
what?
Was getting punched out. And we were like, oh my God, let's get out of here. And we drove away and quickly, we were probably listening to Kids in the Hall and drove away and drove through Levittown. And that was like my experience in Levittown. That's it. I mean, there was also a Pearl Paint that I used to go to. But like,
oh, like Pearl Arts and Crafts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was
I
one,
love
right.
a good art yeah. store. Are you a painter? What did you do?
I used to be so like cool. visual part. Yeah, I was oh so shitty. I think that's actually oh, how were? I got into comedy because like we'd have to critique our shit. And I'd be like, look at this. Like I had a sculpture once that was so bad. And I was like, I know. I get, like I see the joke here. I'm not meant to do something in 3D. But I used to always go... No, it was East Meadow, which was right next to Levittown.
What was the town that you're from?
I'm from Rockville Center, which is it's like
sounds
30
familiar
minutes
to me.
Well, it's actually like it's one of the first bedroom communities for like the people who live and who work in Manhattan and commute on Long Island. There's three bedroom like the first bedroom communities. It's like far enough out to feel
such
like you're
an interesting
out.
Term, bedroom weird? Community. It sounds very sexy.
It's very, lots of, it was constant fucking. Like if you just put your ear out the yeah. window, you're like getting it out.
Yeah. Is that what is, so bedroom community just comes from like, it's a way of saying suburbia in a sense. Yeah. yeah?
I'm sure it's some realtors kind of made up bullshit.
Yeah.
Like come to the
your
suburbs.
Sanctuary.
Yeah. Come yeah. and fuck your husband. You know, oh my God, I'm talking about sex so much, but
this is where your bedroom would be. His mistress's bedroom yeah. will be in Manhattan proper.
Your mistress, yeah, exactly. That's because he'll care more for her. But yeah, I grew up in Rockville Center. Joan Jett lived in my town for a brief spell.
Oh, right. Speaking excited. Of rock and roll. Speaking
rock and
of
roll.
Rock and roll.
There's actually some cool people from, like David Tell is from Rockville Center.
I for sure heard of, like Rockville Center is a place that gets discussed in
Isn't
some
a weird
way, shape,
little
or
name.
Form.
Well, in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, they were in Rockville Center. Either they were working, I mean, they weren't in it actually, but they were, you know, like that's what the town is. I was like, no one knows about this town. It
yeah.
was just like us hating life. I don't know how, but there's been some really cool people that have come. I mean, well, Bob Newhart's wife lived across the street from me before I moved in. That's exciting. But
wait, what does that mean? The woman who played Bob Newhart?
No, the
wife
woman
or
who
the
truly
woman...
who married
oh.
him.
Oh, right.
Life.
But she was, but he didn't.
No,
live
I was always like, is he gonna? Come?
Yeah.
Like, why would Bob Newhart
up.
Be like, I'm gonna drive around Rockville Center and visit? But
I mean, you never
I
know.
I don't know what the fuck I'm. Why I'm killing you with this ridiculous story about Long Island? But
I'm asking. Oh, I keep asking.
I sometimes lose the thread of what the hell I'm talking about.
That's the name of my podcast.
Okay, cool.
Is I always lose the thread.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I remember. Well, that's something. I mean, I don't need to like force a tread over old ground, but I know like June Raphael was from Long Island, and
she's from Rockville Center.
Well then maybe that's why it's so extra familiar in the context of this.
I can't believe I didn't think of her because she's one of the people that I cite when I'm like, oh, there's lots of like really cool like people doing cool she's one of them.
Well, this is what I remember her saying, now I feel very smug that we've made this connection, but that it was this sort of thing where they did go into the city all the time, but maybe I'm wrong. I feel like I remember her saying like it's a thing where you do go, they did have access to the city and went to the city all the time, but at the same time it still felt so far away from like a young person's perspective, where yes, you can visit there, but it feels like
never it's get that.
Worlds apart to it's where you true. Live and where you like are, you know, what your day to day is like if
it's
you're not there.
It's a 28 minute train ride into Penn Station, and it felt like this idyllic, this, oh my God, I'm never going to, I would pine. Like this will actually upset probably one person on the planet, but I would say like my first love was Manhattan, because it was just this like, oh my God, like this, it's so exciting. Like coming, if I would drive into the city, just coming over on the LIE, like going into the Midtown Tunnel, and you crest this like hill, and then all of a sudden the entire skyline is front. It's like, and when I was little, my parents would drive us in, and we'd come in from, you know, across, like from Brooklyn, or you'd come from lower Manhattan, and you just see the lower, like Manhattan, like the World Trade Center, just like this beautiful, it was just, it was heart stopping, you know? And so it was so exciting to go. My mom would give me money. She'd give me $10, and I'd spend it on train and tokens. Which is dating me, and we would like somehow figure out like a way to pool money to get French fries. And we wouldn't like go, we'd go into the village and like we wouldn't even get into the East Village. We'd be like, oh my God, this is it. This is going on. People are doing stuff. This is Manhattan. It's just so exciting. But it felt like, but it really kind of having that like just out of reach kind of, I think, propelled me out of there. Cause I know people who still live there. I mean, they hated it. They were like rebellious and anti Long Island and like, fuck this place, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Can I say?
Oh yeah, okay. Well, we're way past that.
Oh yeah.
What if I was like, we have to start over?
This is the prayer hour. but those people were kind of surprising. Like they have living suburban lives and are, I'm sure, happy or are successful, more normal than I am, and doing shit with their days and getting up before 4 p.m. on Saturday.
Did you have, that does really interest me, because I really, being from Tucson, Arizona, there was no Bright Lights Big City for me at all. Like I didn't go to New York until I was in my very early 20s, like maybe 21, 22. I'd never been there, and I did love it, but I also had like by then lived in San Francisco and sort of and so San Francisco was the first kind of Bright Lights Big City experience I had when I was 13. And so that seems similar, but the idea of just being a child and being younger and still having that sense from such an early age of something so metropolitan and cosmopolitan and scary but exciting, I just didn't have. Even coming to LA, it's like you don't feel as a child when your parents take you someplace like LA, you're only going to see, like, I honestly remember the most cliche, like, freeways, Disneyland, and like my dad was dating someone who lived in Beverly Hills at one point, and so I sort of had a sense of that.
Vomiting is what I think of when I think, because I got sick the first time I came to LA, and my parents took me to LA, and then we drove to San Francisco. I was so excited. I had this like ridiculous blousy button up and like these weird jeans and like a Coca-Cola shirt, like the Benetton shirt, but like the Coca-Cola, because it wasn't. And I was like, I'm gonna show up in California.
Yeah. How old were you?
Like, I was 12, and I was like,
that's the perfect age to be like, I'm a woman, everybody. Yeah. Like, you're not even.
They're gonna recognize me. I was like wearing parrot earrings made of coconut shells, and like so excited, and then shut down physically. I got the flu. And spent the rest of the trip lying in the. I ended up in the emergency room.
Oh no, that's like vomiting. For reals.
Yeah, I just. But yeah, I think actually that it has something to do. This is going to sound kooky, but I also lived in San Francisco, so I feel like we have license to say kooky things. Yeah. But I think it was like the first time I came to California, my body was reacting to like this like serum that I would have in my bloodstream for the rest of my life, because I've been drawn to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I was drawn to San Francisco and still am.
Oh my God. Being drawn to San Francisco is unlike any other like feeling of magnetic. I remember when I first moved yes. there, people said, because it was like a feverish feeling mm-hmm. of when I finally moved there, because it was between 13 and 19 of me just being like, when can I go? When can mm-hmm. I get there? When can I get there? And getting there and wanting to feel, because I didn't know anyone except the person I moved with. And I still immediately felt like accepted in a way that I've never felt mm-hmm. moving anywhere else. And I wanted so much to like understand and be recognized for that draw and that pull that I felt. And I remember talking to some person who said, you know, it's funny, there are a lot of people kind of who sort of jokingly, but like somewhere deep inside, maybe believe that that you're drawn there because you lived, like it was Atlantis or
yes,
something
in yes, another life. I knew you were going to say that. I heard that too. And I've told people that.
Because you're like, I'm coming home. I'm coming home to this place that was like very, because a lot of people like us who say, it's like, I don't feel I had a choice. Like I had uh-huh. to live there.
It's so kooky. It's so cool that you said that, because someone told me that, and I'll be like, yeah, that works, and then tell everybody. But I truly believe that. I think that, and someone said too, like, and so we all return here, and then when the big one happens, and we return to the sea. But I was just telling someone that recently. I believe it because I remember going there and. Well, after the time I was vomiting and uh-huh. going there with my mother when I was looking at colleges, and just being like beside myself with anxiety that I wouldn't be able to be there. And right? then like looking at the place and being saying like crying and being like, Mom, I'll drive a bus. I'll do yes. anything here. I just
that
have to.
That is exactly how I felt. I had no, I've joked about it on the podcast before, but I don't think I've ever really like articulated it as intensely as that. I had zero career purpose. It was like being a drug addict uh-huh. where you're like, I don't care. I just need to get there as soon as possible. And I had no plan. Just as long as I could afford to live there, that's all I cared about. I didn't care what I was doing. And it was that emotional intensity. And of course, people are like, people who visit there, I mean, it's universally beloved, but yeah. people say, I love my heart in San Francisco. But I think that when people are like, oh, I love Frisco or whatever yeah. they say, you're like, okay, first of all, second of all, like, there's this kind of weird thing that happens where you're like, oh, bless your heart. But you were able to come and go.
Yeah.
Like you don't understand.
You don't still think about it. I swear, like there isn't, we talked about burrito. When I said burrito, I was thinking of Taqueria Cancun. Yeah, that there isn't Cancun. A day where I haven't woken up with if I've had too much wine or something, I wish I could just take the bus right to Taqueria Cancun. And, you know, yeah. I haven't lived there in years. And I don't know. It's when I moved away from San Francisco, I drove across the Bay Bridge, there was like Tony Bennett poster, like, or billboard. He was like waving, and I was like, "Fuck you, Tony! Like, don't you do this to me right now?" But I was so sad.
Yeah.
And whenever I go back there, it's like something flips on in me, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, "Oh yeah." It's something about It's weird because Manhattan is like the abusive boyfriend who I go and he roughs me up, and I fight with him, and I cry all the time. But San Francisco, I'm just like, it's like the most wonderful lover.
I totally agree. And I don't know if I've said this before, but there's like a place. I mean, I love that you're just going down this hokey road with me, but there's a park in San Francisco where, because I go still for Sketchfest. Thank God for Sketchfest. I don't think I ever could have left if I didn't have Sketchfest, I would still be connected to it. But there's a park that I go whenever I can, like it's not too far from where we stay. And it has this, it just has a great view. It's every view is great in San Francisco, but like there's a park where you're sort of looking at, you know, you can just see a bunch of San Francisco. And I really feel, for me, it feels like it's a female energy. And I do sort of feel, I kind of laugh at myself as I'm feeling it, but I feel taken care of. And I feel that it's not the people inside the houses. It is the city on the whole. It feels like I'm being cradled. It feels mm-hmm. like,
It just feels like I got your back. Like, I've got you. And not in like an aggressive, like, I got your back. Yeah. But just like a, you're okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's like a trust fall. Wait, yeah. What park is it?
It's the park. I never know what any park is called other than Golden Gate Park, but it's the park that's, just, it's like Steiner and California. It's a park that has tennis courts on the top. And if you're at a different angle, you can see like Pacific Heights.
No, it's like, that's in the,
it's like, it's not Alta Vista. Cause that's by the, I can never remember what it's called. But it's like, if you're standing on one area, you can see like a mosque and a thing, and you can see, of course, like the Forest Hill Tower. You can see Bernal Heights. And it's just very, it's just sweet. And
I love the way watching the fog roll in, it would come towards you.
It's so mystical.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I actually, last year, Sketchfest, which was so fun. It was so great.
I'm so glad you guys had come.
So I just met someone who got accepted to Sketchfest I just talking to someone. They were so thrilled. And I was like, holy shit, is that already happening again?
Yeah.
Like, and being at Sketchfest last year, I was like, dude, I got to get a sketch group together. Like, I want to be, have an excuse. But I had so much fun being there. We had such a blast. And it was just like stepping right into a groove, but not stepping into a boring groove, just returning to something great. Yeah. I just...
You know what? It's funny. This is a stretch, but I was just thinking, for anybody who doesn't know why Sarah was at Sketchfest, we did an Enlightened panel. Enlightened, of course, being the marvelous HBO show starring Laura Dern. It was Mike White's baby. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I actually feel like a lot about what I loved about that show kind of gives me the same happy, sad feeling that San Francisco does. It's that, like, Mike White is so good at creating these worlds where your heart is breaking, but it's so beautiful and lovely and a human that it is. It's like happy sad.
And there's something about the kooky
nostalgia, but it's kooky. And it's very, in a lot of ways, it's very kind of like what my emotional state is about not living in San Francisco, but going back. There's a bittersweetness to it. Like, it sort of matches.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really actually wonderful being there with Mike and Laura and Molly. Laura Dern and Molly Shannon came in the day of the panel, but Mike White and our producer Dave Bernad and Tim Sharp, who played Dougie, we were there the night before, and we went out to dinner, and then Mike performed in a show, and we went and saw him, and then we went to the party, like, that you guys threw us the party, like the whole thing apart. Yeah. And it was so neat being there with them, because it was returning to, I don't know, and the next time I return with a group, who knows what group it'll be. Like, it was like, you know, if I'd known when I was going to art school that I'd be there with this group of people that, like, even before I met Molly, I was such a huge fan of her. And it's like the best thing to meet someone like Molly, because you don't meet them and go, oh, that's too bad.
Right.
You know, you're just like, oh, that's even better. Yeah. You're like, 1,000 times even better.
Yeah.
But just like knowing, like, I don't know, there was something so satisfying about being in San Francisco. Not that anxiety, like, am I going to, when I was growing up in Rockford, I'm like, am I going to ever get out of here? In San Francisco, it was like, I couldn't articulate it. I don't even know if I can articulate it now, but like, it's like water. You're just going to keep returning, and each time you're going to, like, have more shells with you. I don't know, but.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. And what school did you go to?
I went to the University of San Francisco, and I took art. I studied art with the Academy of Art.
Sure.
And then towards the end of my tenure at USF, they switched from the Academy of Art, and you had to start at a new art school. And at that point, I realized, like, I'm not a good visual artist. I'm a better writer. And so I kind of took a little extra time and.
But, like, would I think that you were a good visual artist? Is that just your opinion?
I think no.
I feel like I could have gone down that road, but I was sure I was no good, sadly, from such a young age that it never even occurred to me that was something I could pursue. And I'm interested in this idea of you staying with it for that long, but not necessarily thinking that you're great at it. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't have the technique really. Like, I couldn't figure out what medium I wanted to work. I really love paintings. Like, oh, I could look at paintings every day. I love graffiti, and I love everything from, like, graffiti, like, to Andrew Wyeth. Like, I could just fall into paintings for the rest of my life. But I could. I don't have the technique to, and I don't. I don't think I have the lasting ability to stick. I couldn't. Have you ever seen? I'm going all over the place.
I'm all for it.
New York Stories. I just watched.
Yeah. God, it's been a while though.
I just watched it the other day. I watched it because I started to watch a shitty movie. It pissed me off. I was unnerved by it, and I needed to cleanse. And I wanted to watch Banksy Does New York, the documentary about Banksy. But I knew if I watched New Yorkers, I would get really homesick. But I needed to see New York, so I watched the first.
Is that the Nick Nolte one?
Yes, and he's a painter.
Yeah,
and he's so passionate and so in love with his muse that he's also kind of repressing and controlling as an artist.
Who was the girl?
Rosanna Arquette.
You know why I get confused? Because I get confused because Hannah and Her Sisters is one of my favorite movies, and in that, Michael Caine and Barbara Hershey have that same kind of mentor lover relationship where she's younger and he's like, "I know you're going to leave me." And
I am Michael
Caine. Same thing where you're sort of like, or whatever. Not Barbara.
Yeah, it is Barbara Hershey.
Yeah, right? There's the sort of like, oh no, it's Max von Sydow.
And then
Michael
Caine's
married to Mia Farrow, and then they have an affair. Yeah. But yeah, the Max von Sydow thing where he's just like, he's a painter, isn't he?
He's a grumbling, passionate.
Yeah, because that's one of my favorite.
Oh, I love that.
That's one of my favorite things he says. Like, he has one of the best lines. Maybe I've said it before because I definitely try to bring it up whenever possible. But he says, there's some conversation about something that has to do with art, and like, and then they get into a conversation about God, and he's like, "I tell you, if Jesus ever came back and he saw what people do in his name, he'd never stop throwing up."
That probably sounded great. I want to watch that again. I love that movie so much. I love the love and passion that Michael Caine like experiences for Barbara Hershey.
Oh my God, just, and the E.E. Cummings poem.
Oh, I was gonna say, I mean, not even The Rain had so much. It's like, oh, I love that poem. And you know what's interesting? They selected like the best part of the poem. Because if you read the whole poem, it's great. But it's just like the most concentrated part of like, oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that poem. It's beautiful.
I know I could really go down a whole other like rabbit hole of like poetry and
talk to you about
poetry is not something that's cool, especially in the comedy world. No. It's just not something that like no one in the comedy community wants to hear you say, "Oh my God, I just revisited a bunch of Dylan Thomas poetry and my heart is shattered in the best way." Like, they're going to be like, "Okay, gay wad," some horrible offensive thing.
Somebody
where you're like, "Thanks
suicidal.
A lot." It's not cool.
I know, it's also poetry is such like a singular, lonesome thing. Like, you write, and I can tell you, I have notebooks.
I for sure do.
Ridiculous.
Too.
Do looking too. In the window, I'm alone. You don't grow up as a goth on Long Island and not have spiral notebooks
right
filled
there
with shit poetry. But I love poetry. Yeah, I never get to talk about poetry, and it's so beautiful. When I was little and I was afraid to say, like, I like poetry, I don't know anything about poetry. But then it's like painting. The more and more you look at paintings, and the more and more like you do shitty paintings or you go visit paintings, you're like, actually, I know a teeny bit, and then it helps you learn a little more. And poetry is the same. Like, the more, there's this one poem by Adrienne Rich, and it's called Living in Sin. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's an obad, which is, I mean, this is whatever, but an obad is like, I'm going to simplify it because I'm an old drunk, but it's a poem lamenting. It's a genre of poetry lamenting the sunrise, because in the night.
Oh wow, that's so specific.
Well, it's very. I'm oversimplifying, but it's like at night, you know, when there's darkness and you can be with your lover and you can kind of whitewash all the stuff that's all the reality. But then when the sun comes up, it shines a harsh light, and you're like. But there's this beautiful poem by this woman, Adrienne Rich, and she wrote it in like the 70s or something. She's great. Writer and a great poet, and you know, she was saying like, she thought the studio would keep itself, like she thought everything would stay, but she gets up and she hears her husband like grumbling, moving his balls, getting up, making coffee, going out for smokes, and there's this beat, like it's just like there's dust and there's a bug and she has to make coffee, and it is in this like rolling sexual like beautiful thing, and I just love, I love that poem when I was a kid, which says a lot, or 16, which says a lot about like my doomsday belief.
Well, but you know what? I really relate to that. And that's why I love talking about those years too. And I feel like I've been kind of returning to that a little bit more. I kind of got off of that for a while, and I'm sure it will like ebb and flow. I love being in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But I'm back in this place right now, especially, where I'm really thinking a lot about, and you guys know who listen to the podcast that I've been talking about it. I brought it up with Jamie Denbo last week. That sort of, my fascination with like, with love and obsession and exactly that sort of abad, is that what it's called? This idea of, and being a young person and really having the luxury to really revel in that. And it almost is represented in an even more perfect, dramatic, heartbreaking way when you're a teenager, because number one, you really only have the responsibility of high school or your job, but it's not, you know, if you're fortunate enough not to have to be supporting your family or living alone, you know, if you're living in a sort of lower middle class world, or maybe you don't even have a job. Like my parent, I had no money, but my parents wanted me to only focus on school.
So my dad, you know what I mean? Like, it was like,
not till you're, So then you have your responsibility of school. So you really have the luxury of being obsessive about film and movies and books. And also you're being schooled, you're in school, so you're having all of this like stimuli. Even if you think you're against it, you're still being stimulated by talking about poetry and literature and science and this and that. And then you're also trapped. You're trapped at home. You're trapped longing. By having to go to school. And you have more energy and you have all these hormones.
And you're psychotic.
So you're psychotic. So you have this like, you know, the staying up all night and the like enjoying the sort of just being so out of it. And the next day you can just get by because you're a teenager and who cares? And like, so you kind of fell asleep in biology. It's one day.
Nobody
you
know what cares I mean? About me. And
nobody cares and nobody gets it. Yeah, but like holding on to that and feeling like, like that's my version of, I guess, you know, the football player who's like, that's such a cliche, but this is like the salad years of like, it never got better than when I won the football. But and so it wasn't like that, but I feel like as I mature, I'm really coming into very like real clarity for me how important those feelings of like wildness and like forbidden love and the magic hour and all of that kind of stuff. Like magic hour being like sometimes like 3 a.m. instead of, you know, dusk or whatever.
PM. Yeah.
And trying to make peace with that, trying to find ways to stay connected with that in a way that's not unhealthy. Because as you become an adult, sometimes you can lean into that in a bad way. You can lean into it. You can go on auto and not ever connect with it, but you can also, you know, suddenly drinking is the only key that opens that door, or, you know, promiscuous sex is the only key that opens that door, or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, how do you hold on to that? Because I kind of loved that wild longing, and I don't want to like perpetuate that in a way that's unhealthy where I'm just dissatisfied with stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. This year has been, I don't know if this year has been a wild year. Like it's just, I've had so many moments where I'm like, what is happening this year? People from my past are returning. I'm meeting people that I know I'm supposed to know, or just very weird things have been happening this year. And whether people believe in this or not, there's a system of belief. There have been multiple eclipses, and like there's been lots of like astrological stuff. I'm a Gemini, I'm into it. But there's been so much happening like in the universe. There's a lot happening in politics, of which I am almost 90% ignorant to, but I apologize for that.
I've really gone
such a freaking bubble. Like I know ISIS. But well, and so much is going on right now with protest. Anyway, but but so it's almost like there's this like shifting and rumbling. Something's I don't know how to also articulate that, but I went to see a concert in March. I went to see this band, Skinny Puppy.
Oh, that's funny. I've definitely brought them up before. I have seen them. I was also, these guys are probably tired of hearing me, but I was goth when I was a high school student also.
We should get a drink together.
I know.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So you just went.
I just went. That's because wonderful. I had tickets to see them when I was a little kid, when I was in high school. And
I just transferred high schools and I didn't know anybody. And
because you moved or because you transferred
high schools?
No, my
mom was like, you're wearing too much black. You're listening to stuff that sounds suicidal.
She yanked you out. She blamed it on the school?
Well, she also was like, you're not an A student and you're not an F student and you don't play sports. And the school I was in I would have nothing. And I told
Was it just a public school?
Like yeah. I told the guidance counselor, like, I want to go to NYU. And she's like, you won't end up there.
Oh, wow.
I went there. I dropped out after a semester, but and went to University of San Francisco.
But I had to show this
bitch.
That's right.
I could fuck you, Lucretia.
Vengeance College is the best kind of education.
And I will be asked to double down, and then I will leave instead. But I just was going to go nowhere. I'd get lost in the shuffle of this giant public school. And so my mom took me out and I went to this great school that unfortunately closed at the end of the year. So I had to go to third high school. But
was it a public school or a private
school? No, it was a private school. Okay. It was a school in Long Island called St. Paul's. And they're actually, F. Scott Fitzgerald talks about it. It's such an old school. There was graffiti on the building, like etched in with like a nail from the turn of the last century.
Oh, wow.
That's
exciting.
Beautiful. And it's unfortunate because it closed and then the building went into disrepair. And then I think it became like an old age home. And then maybe it's an old age home. But they did film in front of it for Boardwalk Empire. But, but I went there and I didn't know anyone well enough to have anyone go with me. And the person who could go with me bailed at the last minute. And so I was just going to like go by myself. But my mom flipped out like, you're not going to Manhattan. And I was going to ask my mom, like, Mommy, do you want to go see?
Of all bands to go see with your mom, that is not
She's
one.
Like, no, I much prefer Front 242. But, like, you love that electronic
shit.
You talk
to me Ministry or Tones on Tail. I'm interested.
I'll be there. Yeah, I love my Tones on Tail. But she ripped my tickets up. And I was like, girl, you didn't just do that. And so it was a great disappointment. And I still tease her about it. But I went this March and... It was unbelievable.
How was it? Who was there?
It was
a bunch of usses where you're like,
people
you guys
were
don't
like
look
visit-
like you probably used
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, you're where? It was people our age revisiting, people who were still keeping the dream alive. There was a fight, which it was so exhilarating.
Great.
Do you know Emily Gordon?
Yeah.
She was there.
Oh my God. And that doesn't surprise
me.
We
just discovered that we're both digging. And we actually ran into each other. We had met very briefly at Sketchfest.
Yeah.
And I was on such a high when we ran into each other that I didn't even put it together. And she pointed it out to me this summer. Her husband, Kamal, and I worked on a movie together, and Emily came, and I like her so much. She's so smart.
I would love to, the three of us to,
Oh, we should, let's take over.
I don't see enough of that young woman, nor do I see enough of you. Yeah.
Let's get a timeshare and just do it
God,
right.
I would do the hell
let's
out of that.
Let's do it. We go to St. Thomas. We do 3 weeks. We just fucking go deep and get crazy.
I really would.
That would actually be kind of fun. But she and I discovered we both love them and that we should go dancing. And she was standing by the merchandise table. Now, I would never have bought a t-shirt when I was young because I wouldn't have had the money.
Yeah.
But I bought a pair of skin-tight, skinny puppy leggings that I sleep in. I saw a lady wearing them the other day and I almost dove onto her back and was like, did you see the show? But it was so great. It was so exhilarating. And it was like, I don't know if it set me back, but I tapped into something that I think, especially being an actress, and you spend so much time kind of ramming yourself into these like little identity that you have to like, okay, today I'm going to be Rachel who's got her job and or tomorrow I'm going to be Margo who's like the sassy one or the next day I'm going to be, you know,
the mom who just had it. She doesn't know how she's going to keep going on.
Yeah. and so like I kind of feel like I lost touch with that self and I don't want to be a 15-year-old like faux suicidal goth girl anymore, you know, like I'm so dark, but then going home and watching stand-up, you know, but I there's something to be said about like reconnecting with that and like you said, like that not to your detriment but to remind you, like, because you get so kind of lost. Like sometimes I go into auditions and I hope my agents and managers don't listen to this, or the casting directors who've like helped my career. I'm like, wait, what part of
they know? They all get it. Do you know what I mean? They all get it.
I hope
I think
have you had to like go in and like look at the sheet and be like, okay, I know I'm not auditioning for George, but there's a first moment where you're like, what am I doing? Am I Rachel or am I like,
oh, definitely
Renee? I don't, and definitely. Like, you just, you
know, yeah, definitely.
There have been times where I've like walked, I mean, like during pilot season. I don't know if I'm sounding too insidery now, but
I think people know what pilot season is at this point. I've probably talked about it, but
Hell on Earth, for actors and actresses. But the most like competitive, insane, stressful, but it's also a good time for people to come together, I think, because people aren't sassing each other, skunking each other. But, anyway, that's, I don't know how I've gone from skinny puppy.
No, well, just the idea of kind of having, I mean, it goes to as simple as like, seeing sometimes like on Project Runway especially, but also sometimes on Top Chef, on these reality shows where these people are competing in an artistic manner, and they're and that's why I'm so interested in visual artists too, is I'm very envious of the creative person whose creativity is not as attached to their physical appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not interested in doing something particularly uncreative, and being able to, you know, have orange hair. I want to be still an artist, but I envy somebody who has like one side of their head shaved, and like their eyebrows are purple, because that's what I thought I was, and that's sort of who I was when I wasn't doing this. And now I'm like,
no,
like
no,
I get offended when people, like on this podcast, these guys know, when people are like, oh, I would have pegged you as the homecoming queen.
Oh,
I am deeply offended. I'm like, oh my God, I seem that cookie cutter to you? Which, by the way, all due respect to friends of mine now who I'm surprised to hear were homecoming queen, because they seem so alternative or what have you. It's all about the stereotype stuff. But the teenager in me who would have felt that was poison is still inside and is like, I beg your pardon.
Excuse me? I had blue hair. Exactly.
Oh, thank you. Do you know what I mean? I had blue streaks. My hair is very blonde, so it was very hard to just like completely bleach it out and do it. But
I had blue hair, and I see little kids now, and I'm like, oh, cannot wait to turn 68 and start dyeing my hair blue.
There's that thing that clicks on where you're like, at what point is there going to be a switch that turns on where I suddenly go crazy in the best way, and I'm like, fuck everybody.
And you just
like shave it, and then it's like grows back, and you dye it blue, and then you just wear combat boots and long skirt.
I wonder, like, I it's weird because I get pegged all the time for like for being like a mommy or like a little uptight lady, and my friend Adam Pally, the comedian. Awesome performer, writer. He's on the Mindy project right now. He's on Happy Endings. He was describing me, and he was saying, you know, Burns is like, you look at her and you think she's this button up librarian, but you talk to her for 5 minutes, she was this fucking train wreck. And that's the thing, like, people look at me, and it's because you're kind of, you can't go in, I wouldn't do this, but you can't go in with like Maori tattoos all over your face and be like, hi, I'm gonna audition for the role of Raquel, the Fibberty Jibbit. You know, like, they'd be like, what the fuck? And so you have to kind of tone yourself, you have to kind of streamline yourself. You can't have any like quirk.
Genericify yourself.
Yeah, you have to genericify yourself. So that you, and then you sit in a room with a bunch of women who are wearing the same, like, you know, you go in and you're like, oh, we're all wearing the same. I always go in and go, how do people dress like normal humans for these things? When I show up in dirty, I'm like burrito on my shirt. I'm like, I wonder why I'm not booking. But yeah, it's easy to kind of lose yourself. I'm trying to figure out how to tap back into that so that I agree.
And I think there is part of me that's like letting some of that go. And like, if, you know, I feel like I had something the other day. This is, I'm sure, so annoying to those of you who don't do this. Well, maybe you have a curiosity about it. I don't know. But where, you know, I'm getting called in to be a such and such. Like, I think I had some audition for where I was supposed to be like, honestly, like a teacher by day, exotic dancer by night. Ridiculous. Also not believable.
Oh, totally.
But my version of that was so much more me than it would have been like 5 years ago. Like, my version of that was like, you know what? I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go in still wearing my own clothes, feeling like myself. And whatever if they can't see past that, then I'm really not interested. Because I'm at the point in my career where like, I don't want, if I'm going to wear something I'm uncomfortable in for the audition, I don't want that part.
Just because you're going as a politician doesn't mean you need to wear an American flag.
That's right.
You know, like, yeah.
Do I not? Oh, God. Yeah, I've really been. Oh,
okay. Well, we're going to do a couple 101s. No American flag. But do wear the American flag for the stripper.
Yeah.
But for the politician,
yes,
it's
with a wink and a smile.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know this year, like, I started kind of going, it should be more about my performance and not wearing a costume. I'm not doing character sketch show.
Right.
And I think people are at this point are familiar. Oh, by the way, I loved you on Marin.
Oh gosh, that was so fun.
I kept thinking about like something about like trolling for your exes on Facebook or something. I'm sorry to say, but you're so great.
Oh, thank you. When they asked me to do that, and then they were like, and Paul Feig will play your husband. I was like, oh my god, yes, please.
Had you like auditioned for him or worked for him or known him at all before that? Because that's a wonderful way to meet one of the best.
I did know because I did know him because Bruce McCall is one of my best friends, and he's one of
I'm sorry,
and also Bruce McCall is one of Molly's best friends too, so that's like a barbecue waiting to happen. If you want a little Molly Shannon, because I don't really know Molly.
Molly's great. That's right. I didn't know that they were.
Because they did. They worked on. He wrote her last project that didn't end up getting picked up, seems like a crime. But
that seems like.
But he's
Bananagrams.
Yeah, Bananagrams. But he's close to Paul, so I knew him through that. But then I also knew him because we had a Freaks and Geeks panel years and years ago at Sketchfest, and he came up for it. But that was the most I'd really ever spent a lot of time with him, and it was, you know, he's the sweetest man.
He's so brilliant. He's so neat. I've only met him one time, and that was in an audition, and I was so blown away by, he was such a great, forget the fact that he's a great proponent of, you know, women's comedy and good comedy, whether it's whatever gender, but he stood up when I walked in the room. He was wearing a suit.
There is really something to be said for that.
I was so, dapper. What a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And then the stuff he makes is so good. I've read his books. Like,
he's very special.
Yeah. Yeah. And he likes martinis. And so someone likes martinis is already.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah. Already. Although I did hear him talking about the fact that he doesn't consider vodka martinis martinis. And so
martinis.
I'm sorry. We'll have to come to blows
That's tough.
But. That you guys were so good together.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope you come back. Well, let me shoehorn this into getting back to you for a second, because I enjoyed the fact that you were talking about being a teenager and being goth. I mean, I really can identify to being a teenager, being goth, and something like Kids in the Hall being such a great gateway, and sort of like, it's cool on both sides. Mm-hmm. And Bruce had a lot to do with that, because there was this very punk rock, Canadian punk rock sensibility to their show. Who were you? Who did you have crushes on? Like, who were your boyfriends, if any? Or like, who did it for you when you were in high school then? You know, because you have this sort of cross section of people that you can crush on if you're interested in all of those different things. And where does that kind of fit in?
I had a huge crush. I proposed marriage to Ad Rock in my senior yearbook. We were each given a page, because the final high school I went to, we were each given a page. There were so few of us. I proposed marriage to him. I'd loved him since I was 12. My first like celebrity crush was Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. And I went when I was like 13 or something to the skate expo that they were doing in the next town. And I went in and I was wearing a big fluorescent peace sign shirt. And I was like, Tony! And he turned around. And I was like, is that my t-shirt? And he signed my t-shirt.
Ooh.
My friend Jamie actually works with him sometimes, because she works occasionally with Ben Harper, who works with Tony Hawk on a foundation for building skate parks for like at-risk kids.
I interviewed Tony Hawk.
Okay, we gotta take a break
on HuffPost
Live.
Don't
tell me you've also.
I'll try to find Jarvis that. Cochran, I'll try to find that down. Because his son also is now like a professional skater.
Probably,
but
adorable.
Yeah,
I think because his wife is gorgeous, really, or his girlfriend, whatever. But yeah.
Those are good. I get it. The skater, the crossover of like the alt girl and liking skater boys is very familiar to me too.
Do you remember? I remember being a little kid, 13, 14 years old, and hearing the skateboards come, mm-hmm. and you'd be like, "Uh-oh!" Actually, I used to have I'm wearing a silver, just a little band on my finger, and I used to have five of them, and I have one left, and over the years probably tossed them out to like, boy, I remember giving one to like this boy, Marty Brawl.
So great.
He's so cute. And I gave him, like, just losing them to skater boys. Yeah. And like, you know, just love. Now when I hear skateboards, I'm like, oh, and I turn around, it's like some child.
I know.
Like, yeah, fuck it. But you know, that Tony Hawk, Ad Rock,
Ogre from Skinny Puppy, he still very, very handsome. It.
Yeah. And, well, and actual boyfriends, so did that translate? Or do you have goth boyfriends?
No, I had like boyfriends who were into like punk, or boyfriends who were into graffiti, or I had a boyfriend on and off through high school. He was like instrumental in getting me like opening my eyes to like graffiti, or, and he was really into music, like I don't know if it'd be hip hop, but like the kind of like illegal DJ and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He does that now. And he was into punk, and actually I got him the Misfits box set one year for Christmas, and we broke up, and I was like, I'm taking this shit back, asshole. But I had another boyfriend who was really, really into like crust punk, and made me like, you know, when people make you like a mix, and his mix included like like footage from documentaries and Gigi Allen songs, and like,
yeah, you gotta love when people get real creative. Yeah. You just made me flash back to the fact that I had this crush on this skater named Adam, who's really shy, who like, I don't ever remember him not wearing a Misfits t-shirt, like in my mind that is literally what he wore.
That's
every
all he
single
had.
Day
yeah.
And he was a really good artist, but like all he ever drew was like really detailed like skulls and shit. It was all just like,
I could draw a human
really
hand.
Ridiculous yeah. and dark, but I definitely had a crush on him, and I think I seem to remember him making me a mix and realizing that I hated every single song on it, but I never tried harder to really get into. You know what? There was probably a couple of like Dead Kennedy songs or something that I was like, I can get on board for this. But at the time, I think I thought there was more musical crossover in our mutual likes than there was.
And yeah, because
God, I love the struggle of when a guy gives you a mixtape, or a girl, who whatever, you know, you do, but getting a mixtape and. A, of course, like trying to interpret every single song. Although if you get something from someone like that, you're not going to get a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah,
from
you're
that.
Like, look into my
dead?
Eyes and hate me.
Yeah, but like,
lick
yeah,
my
that those
smell? Like
the
yeah.
over listening to, and also the sort of like the way we all, I think, especially at that age, but even sometimes still now, where we try to be malleable when we're really excited about someone, and we're like, do I like this? I think I like this. I love Jimi Hendrix. I think I love Jimi Hendrix.
I'm going to the Rainbow Collective this year. I think I'm a hippie.
And then you're like, no, looking back, I realized that I only listened to that then and never after.
And I constantly would stop in the middle and be like, I'm just going to listen to a little CCC right now.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. A friend of mine once discovered, I mean, she's so pretty. She looked to me like, I would describe her even to this day as like, a little punk rock Latina Elizabeth Taylor. She's so
wonderful.
Pretty.
That's very easy to picture, actually.
She's beautiful. She has a handsome husband and two beautiful girls. But she's told me once, she's like, you know what? Actually, it's really up to us with guys. And if we want a boyfriend, we can get him. You know, like, and she kind of unlocked this magic. And you think about high school, you're like, okay, like, I'll totally make eye contact with you while you sing. And play me your song, and I'll watch you skate for 2 hours while I just sit here trying to like not be stoned so I can go home. You know, like all this shit you do, and then you're like, oh, I could have just presented myself and waited like to see who truly liked me.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a lesson you have to learn.
Oh, I guess so, but part of the learning of that lesson goes back to that same feeling that like I kind of miss, you know, the angst of it all.
And being, I like what you said too, angst. Like being open, like you're like, maybe I do like Meet Beat Manifesto or something.
Right.
Like, Oh gosh. I'm just thinking of the guys that I dealt with in high school and. Oy, oy, oy.
All right. Listen, I got to get into this MASH game because believe it or not, it's almost been an hour.
Holy cow.
I feel like I have so many things that I'm inspired to ask and create categories for that I'm afraid I'm going to forget some of them. But the first one seems like the easiest thing to do, keeping in mind the Skinny Puppy feeling you just had. Three bands, living or dead, existing or non-existing, that you wish you could just be like teleported to a show.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Holy moly. I would love to see Bauhaus.
Great. I saw Peter Murphy, but I never saw Bauhaus.
Can you imagine seeing?
Yeah.
I would love to see Oh, I'd love to see the Doors. Mm-hmm. I love Jim Morrison. I love I love the Rolling Stones so much. I grew up listening to them, but I love them and I respect them and I think they're so great. And I think Mick Jagger is just it's great. But I loved when Mick Jagger, when the Rolling Stones went on Ed Sullivan, Mick Jagger changed his words. Let's spend some time together.
Right.
Jim Morrison did not.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I'd like to be in the same room with him, but I would love to see the Doors. Like,
yeah,
I just,
no, that's great. And I agree with you. Seeing them would be a lot different than wanting to be in a room with him.
Yeah,
I feel the same way.
I heard a story once about like him meeting Nico. They were set up together and she was like, he's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, he's terrifying. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's an odd duck.
You don't necessarily have the ability to harness him.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is hard. This is a great question. I'm like thinking, ooh, if I don't answer this right, I'll be shot in the head.
Not at all. This is improv. This is improv and we have several categories. So just you can warm up to the idea that in the car driving home, you'll be like, oh,
I should have said something cool. I don't know. There is a band that, because we've been talking about goth stuff, I keep thinking about Sisters of Mercy, but that's not who I want to. Oh, no.
I love all of these people that you're bringing up and casting out without even me knowing who they are. Somebody is not making the cut.
Shit. Fuck.
I feel like I would have liked to have seen, these guys will not be surprised by this. I'm sure I would remember I ever saw The Cure. And I don't want to see them. I mean, I don't need see them now. But if I could have seen them on the Disintegration tour, and I'm not sure why I didn't, but like that was an album that...
Oh, I did.
You saw it? How was it? I mean, I'm sure it was magic. Yeah.
I cried.
I'm
sorry. I interrupted you while Stuart was talking about...
No. I was just thinking of that as myself. To be able to be teleported to see them, not to see him as I am now, but to be able to travel back in time and go. I mean, I would if I could see them. If they announced tomorrow they were playing Disintegration, I would go.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, to be able to be the me that I was, to be like 15 or 14 or 13, I don't even remember when it came out, but to be that kid and be able to just be magically in that space and be that person, I would totally do that.
I saw that tour and I thought of the people. I thought of the band. I saw that tour. I waited in line for a chit to get me in line the following day.
Oh, wow.
And I met a woman. There was like my friend Kiri, a guy, I forget his name, and this girl named Tracy. And we waited. Tracy had Robert Smith hair. She had cool clothes. She had like an Army Navy bag. Great. And I just recorded everything and then emulated that and stopped eating meat as a result of our meeting that day. And then went to the Cure concert, got tickets for Kiri and I got tickets, and then we got tickets for my friend Jen and her boyfriend. They took our seats, so we didn't get a very good view. But when they came out on stage, I cried. They started with like, what's the song where it sounds like glass is falling out of the sky?
Oh, yeah, Pictures of You. Yeah, of course.
It just blew my brains away. And it was such a good... That was a wonderful experience. That was almost like the kickoff of my life or something. Like, but I think it's a tie. I think I would have liked to have seen Bad Brains, mm-hmm. or I would have liked to have seen The Misfits. So just because Bad Brains so charged and political, mm-hmm. and so... marginalized, and then
I'm letting them share a category.
Yeah, lame of me to like.
It's okay,
but
I'm really okay with it.
And the Misfits, the Misfits, and then Danzig, and then Samhain just finished up their final tour ever, and so I'm curious to see what is going to happen again. It's like the Misfits legacy, but I would have loved to have seen the Misfits. I probably would have gotten punched out or something. But
it would have been some sort of horrible accident in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is going to be, and this is a little bit strange, but I feel that if anyone can handle where my brain is going right now, it's you. Either a painting or just an artist's work that you can sort of step into. And that can, it can be abstract. It could be that you just want to swim in the feeling of Mark Rothko. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be like, I wish I could go to Christina's world and tap her on the shoulder. Yeah. Although that's
girl, turn
too.
Around. His wife's about to find out. Like. Yeah. Oh, I love that painting though. That's one of my
faves. I mean, it
faves.
Is great. So that's a bad example, but maybe it's not a bad example. So three either styles of painter or a style of painting or like a very specific piece that you wish you could just kind of like go into.
Well, I would love to go into the Dali painting. Clocks.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like the momentary lapse clocks. Of memory or yeah. the lapse of memory painting.
Guess what I'm putting in? Clocks Dali.
Clocks Dali. I wrote a children's book when I was a little kid
Amazing.
About going into that painting.
Oh, there you go.
I wasn't a kid. I was a teenager. I was super
God, how did I know to ask this question?
I love the work of this artist named Aiko from, she was part of the FAIL, I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly, FAILE collective. Mm-hmm. And then she branched off on her own, and her work is really amazing. She does stuff all over the world. It's very erotic. It's charged and it's
graffiti.
Ooh,
I can't wait to look it up. How do you spell her name?
Aiko. I love her stuff.
Okay. I'm going to look when we get
off. She's a great graffiti. I people say street art, but I kind of still say graffiti just because street art sounds very like anodyne and uh-huh. whitewashed. But uh-huh. This is hard. I'm thinking of Francis Bacon, but I do not want to be in one of his paintings. Uh-huh. Well, you know what? I'd like to go into Le Mademoiselle d'Avignon, which mm-hmm. is, I think it's a Picasso, but I could be totally wrong, but it's this paint. There's the permanent collection at the MoMA in New York City is mm-hmm. like one of the best. It's like I just love that so much. And I went there with my friend once and she was an art history major and she took me there and I was kind of like, I don't know where I am. And she was explaining art to me and it was like Yeah, okay, that's fine. And we were standing in front of the painting and everything that she taught and everything I learned about art and I went like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, we just unlocked the magic.
Yes.
And that's when I kind of realized like, you don't need to know everything about painting.
Yeah.
You don't need to know everything about poetry, but you slowly, it's like meeting people. You slowly chip away and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I work in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. You know, that's a great point.
So
there's a museum in Denmark that I went to this fall that is the best modern art museum I've ever been to for a number of reasons. I'll tell you about it offline, but it's the museum in Aarhus, which is like
Ooh.
3 hours out of Copenhagen. Okay. Next category, as I move through this, is going to be three styles that it would be awesome, like we were talking about earlier, like just any absurd change in your appearance, three that it would be fun to just rock whenever you wanted without having to worry, like a mohawk, but then the next day it's gone, you're fine, you know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah. Well, I would love to have blue hair again.
Right, blue hair, done.
I would love to have an enormous tattoo of this. It's like when a geisha's dancing and opening her robes,
mm-hmm.
like a geisha dancing and opening her robes with all these animals
uh-huh.
in her robes, like just for animal.
Like the illustration of it all?
I always envision like the woman looking similar to my mother, but wearing these beautiful ornate robes
with wonderful.
All the animals that have been like, you know, pit bulls or beagles are tested on, pit bulls are fought, labs are overbred and cats are euthanized and all the kind of in this giant circle, like the way you have a sink, a giant, huge back piece.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
And I wouldn't have to sit through the fucking
18 hours. No, exactly. You just have it. Don't have it.
Bing, bang, a boom.
Exactly.
And it would never fade. And as my body begins to, you know, fail, it would never stretch.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Yeah, so I would do that.
That's great.
And, big boobs for a day.
I'm putting it down. I love that it's like sort of the antithesis of everything else you said, which makes it extra wonderful
just
and honest.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Okay, this was a Twitter question, and I'm really sorry, but I didn't pull it up in front of me. I just thought of it. So I'm going to shout you out in the intro instead, my friend. But a tweet that I just got for a MASH category that I wanted to give to you because I think you'll have great answers is, if someone was making like a biography of your life, what filmmaker or screenwriter or whatever, three, that it would be so great to see through their lens. Like, ooh. I would totally pick Wes Anderson. I can't help myself. I'd love to say that I'm too cool because he's like too popular, but like, I totally would want to see
his take.
Do you know what I mean? And I probably would want to see what Mike White had to say about
it. Oh, I'd love to see what he would be perfect.
Anyway, so not to plant answers for you, but I wanted to give you some examples.
Well, it would have to, of course, if it's going to be my, you know, in my past with its imperial overtones, we'd have to have Kurosawa do my life.
Great.
I mean, little boring girl from Long Island. Something, you know, just
brilliant.
That I'd love to see. My little
tiny. It's a great category.
This is a great question. Brand Whoever new. Thought of that is I know. Super.
Really great.
Super duper. I'd love to see Pedro Almodovar do my film.
Oh, sure. Great choice.
I get so excited when his films begin and I start to get weepy because I know what I'm in for.
Yeah.
And he's one of the only people who I remember. I'm not going into that. But, who would be? I really love Nicole Holofcener.
Oh, God. Yes. I wouldn't mind her. Yes.
She'd probably make my life more beautiful and deep if she did. But she's so funny and sad and like.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great question.
It's a great question. Yeah, I can't wait to use it again.
It's flattering to wonder who would.
I know. I mean, really, it's very.
I'm going to submit to each one of these directors. Werner Herzog turned you down.
Let me get you a form.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is your all due respect to your current husband. This is a fantasy world.
Okay.
Three crushes, one night stand, alternate universe husbands, whatever you want.
Celebrity.
Or like a character from something. Oh, but just like some random person no one's ever heard of is less fun for us.
Yeah.
And could be past, present, or future. I don't know what that means. I know what that means for me. I just realized I don't know what that means. The kid who was in About a Boy, who's now like Beast in the new X-Men movie, he's way too young for me, but like future him?
Yeah, future him.
Or past me?
Past you. Oh, wow. There's so many. It's so interesting. There are some people who excite my mind, but not my body.
All right. You know what? I'm going to give you two categories. Okay. I'm going to give you hot sex. And then the next one, I'm going to give you like conversation for 3 hours on a train.
Oh, fuck.
So hot sex is first.
Do you know, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Wagner Moura, or he's this Brazilian actor.
No, but I will be looking him up.
He is so powerful. And it's a pair of movies that take place in Brazil. And it's
I'll have to look him up.
Oh God. He is so handsome.
All right.
Another really like this is purely sexual. I'd say like I wouldn't mind kissing Tom Hardy.
Great.
With his beautiful mouth.
Yeah, he does have a great
mouth. And do I go with Jarvis Cocker or Oh, gosh. Oh, Nicolas Cage's character, Ronnie Camerari in Moonstruck.
Great.
Oh, his passion is so. So those are for the sex.
I get it. Great.
And for the chit chat. I love all these friends of mine. And. Oh, you know, like Shakespeare, of course.
Great.
Great. Know, no, I don't know. But
crossing it off.
Yeah, no, I would love to talk to. I'm sorry, you probably have to edit out these annoying pauses.
I'm very lazy, so I don't.
Oh,
I just like to think of the listener as also thinking of who their people would be.
Yeah,
I like to excuse it as we're giving you guys a little breathing room.
You guys are getting into it.
To come up with your people.
You're like, let me look up the Sarah Burns so I can send her some fucking hate That's mail. Right. She can't. She doesn't think on her feet well. Who? Oh God, there's so many people I'd love to like expand. Oh, you know who I'd love to talk to? Ai Weiwei.
Oh, great.
I follow him on Instagram, and sometimes I'm like, oh, this guy, what is he doing? And then other times I'm like, don't let go, because one day you're going to be able to pull back and see the pattern of what he's doing and figure his brain out. Because I love his.
Yeah.
I'm not a political person. I'm very ignorant to the world around me, but I love what he does. I'd love to talk to him and find out what are you posting all these photographs of people's haircuts for? Uh-huh. But I would love to talk to the girls from Pussy Riot.
Oh, sure.
Or, you know, make out. They're also really gorgeous. Yeah,
great.
I might have to say, oh, you know who I'd love to talk to? Oh, but this isn't. Oh, I'd love to talk to Emily Dickinson.
Oh,
I
love her poetry. No, this is great.
And That's I'd like great. To ask her to come on out, girl.
Yeah.
So
don't be scared, girl.
Yeah. People will talk about you for the rest of the
I love it.
Time immemorial.
I love it. Okay, next category is three foods that you can have, snap of your fingers, no physical ramifications whatsoever, and it could be as specific as one thing that you love from this one place, or just like a style or a type of food that you're like, I can't get enough of it. But I don't always do it because it's like too much of an indulgence or whatever.
A piglet. I would have a vegetarian black bean burrito from Taqueria Cancun.
Done.
They never give you enough verde sauce, but I always ask for more, and I would just be like, load it in, guys, and they wouldn't give me shit about it.
That's right.
I would love to have truffled macaroni and cheese until I came apart at the seams. And I'd love to drink this is super douchey of me.
great.
Gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of Perrier Jouet Belle Epoque champagne. It's the most beautiful color. It's super expensive. My dad bought two bottles of it once for us. It was gone in a flash. And ever since then, I've been destroyed.
What?
I'm like, oh,
I don't know if I was douchey until you were destroyed by not having enough.
Well, he hit me over the face. That's why I have this large scar down my face.
That's right. Okay, let me do this. Okay, so the third one is going to be alternate universe careers. And that could mean that you become the painter. It could mean that it's something totally different, totally outside, but three.
Oh, I would be a successful painter.
Great.
Tortured.
That's right.
And I would be, I'd love to be a vegetarian chef.
Great.
And I would, sometimes I look at people doing really fantastic things like diving out of planes and like fighting the water. And I'd love to do something completely brave and fearless, mm-hmm. like just leaping out of planes to save children or like
fighting. That happens. Yeah. There's a need for that a lot. I'm just going to say fearless.
Warrior princess.
Warrior.
That's what I wouldn't mind being. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this. Okay. I invite you to take a pee break.
Oh.
If you need to.
I've been wearing a poise. So wonderful. I've been urinating consistently.
I just thought that was turmeric. okay, I'm going to pause it. Come back with your immediate 100% guaranteed MASH future.
Okay.
Okay. You have a very satisfying MASH future, to be sure. I didn't ask you for like a location of a vacation home, which is usually how the MASH mansion, apartment, shack, house comes into play. So I'm going to incorporate this apartment that you ended up with as being somehow related to, inside, adjacent to, or giving the same feeling wherever it is located as your ability to go into Aiko paintings. Does that make sense to you? Because I don't know her work. But now I've created a scenario where you also have an apartment that makes you feel the same way. So I don't know what that means.
Wow, that's going to be a sexy apartment.
Great. Oh, yeah. Sexy. Erotic.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. All right. That's a great vacation home.
Yeah, why not?
Bring it in. You know who's a good person to take is a little Tom Hardy.
Oh, my
Tom Hardy
gosh.
In your Aiko apartment. Uh-oh. Don't mind if you do. I want to congratulate you on your career as a vegetarian chef.
Oh,
you've made
good.
Many people happy, including yourself.
Well, it's all about eating well and remaining local.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I want to. Now, I hope that your big boobs don't get too in the way. The good news is that you've got them come and go no matter what. Great. No, you can have them in or out. It doesn't matter. There's a concert that I don't think you're going to take your new friend Emily Dickinson to, which is Bauhaus.
Well, you could try. She might actually like it.
She might like it. She's you so wanted to take her death. Out and show her the town. While you're at it, you know what you're going to need to do? You're going to need to give her plenty of Belle Epoque champagne.
Oh, yeah, she likes
it. So that then she'll go to Bauhaus and enjoy herself.
Emily Dickinson drunk again.
I mean, page 6, everybody. And all of this folds in and will be depicted by, in your biographical fictional movie, Pedro Almodovar. Which I'm very excited to see his take on this. Emily Dickinson's in it. Bauhaus are in it. Tom Hardy's in it.
You know there's Emily Dickinson food, will be transgender.
There's champagne. There's breasts. There's sexy art.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be.
It all comes
it's
together.
So kind of. That's actually all, it all kind makes of sense. On.
Doesn't
point
it?
Together.
It's very luscious.
Yeah.
Very verdant. Like that's ooh, that's yeah, your match. It's very sexy.
Word. Yeah. I'm that's okay.
Good stuff, everybody. Yeah. Good Sunday.
This
praise
is a
God.
Great Sunday. Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Oh, thank you for
Sarah.
Asking me. This is you're wonderful to talk to.
Oh,
and like
thank you very much.
Now we need to go dancing.
Now we have to go look and look at paintings and things in the house. Guys, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to tell people they should be aware of, following you on Twitter or anything like that?
I'm
very bad at promotional
I
stuff.
Don't have any Twitter. Yeah, I mean, I had my name, but I don't do anything of note. So just please, if you see me in the street, don't run me over. Spay and neuter your dogs. Shop, don't adopt. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I will say quickly, not to, to hone in on this, but if you guys haven't seen Enlightened, I do recommend, even though it's not on per se, it is well worth a watch.
Oh, yeah. The holidays are coming up, and all of your family members will thank you if you purchase
right.
DVDs and Blu-rays
right.
for everyone
right.
that you know.
That's
but
right.
No, just thank you for listening. I'm sorry.
Guys. No, please.
Blitzed
no.
mentally.
No, it's great. That's what the podcast is for. We will talk to you next time on the podcast.
Bye.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.